and welcome to this week's episode of the Not-So-Secret Guide to Being a Berkeley Engineer. My name is Laura Vogt, and I'm the Communications and Events Manager for Engineering Student Services. Thank you for hanging out with us this summer, and now as we get ready to start getting into school, we're going to talk about one of the fantastic things that we have here on campus, the Jacobs Institute for Design Innovation and the Berkeley Certificate in Design Innovation. I've invited Amy Din and Tyshawn Rogers to join us today and give us more details on the programs and events that are offered by the Jacobs Institute for Design and Innovation. Amy, please tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. So I'm the Student Services and Programs Manager at the Jacobs Institute. I've been here for 3 years, and the Institute has also been open for 3 years, so it was very exciting to be here from the start and see our community grow. What I do is basically be a first point of contact for students who are interested in learning more about the resources we have at Jacobs, as well as on campus in general, if we don't have what students are looking for. But we basically try to serve as a hub on campus for students interested in exploring human-centered design and technology innovation through courses, events, being part of a student club, finding mentors here or advising here, and also taking advantage of our makerspace. So I try to help students figure out which of those resources they might want to get involved in and how to do that.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for being here today. And Tyshawn, tell us a little bit about yourself.
How you doing? I'm Tyshawn Rogers. I'm the Student Services Advisor for the Berkeley Certificate in Design Innovation. And starting July 1st, I will also be taking on duties as the Student Services Advisor for the Jacobs Institute in Design Innovation. I started here at the beginning of the year. So as soon as the spring semester hit, I started sort of organizing the Berkeley Certificate in Design Innovation. We were moving into our second year of existence, and so there was a lot of administrative work to sort of get the program up and running. And you know, I'm glad to sort of say that the program is doing great, and we had a really good cohort of students who graduated with the certificate, and we're looking forward to the future and more students sort of participating.
And as we talk about the certificate today, we're going to abbreviate it to BCDI.
We can, yes.
Does that make it a little easier? Well,
yes.
For me, because I keep stumbling over it.
It is. It's very easy.
So how are Jacobs and the BCDI related to each other?
They're very much overlapping communities. I think a lot of students who come to Jacobs take advantage of all our resources, as I mentioned, those classes, those workshops, using our makerspace. A lot of them have the question of, well, I'm really interested in this, how can I explore this academically, which is where the BCDI comes in.
Yeah. Well, the BCDI program ultimately was created by four colleges, the College of Engineering, the College of Environmental Design, Haas School of Business, and the College of Letters and Sciences, Arts and Humanities Division. So it's kind of split in four. So College of Engineering sort of controls about 1/4 of the programming.
Oh, okay.
But the academic committee, who is the hub of the certificate program, they also are intimately involved with the sort of methodology and sort of approvals of new courses that are being designed that sort of incorporate this design methodology. So at Jacobs, for instance, when new courses emerge and they have to be approved, they also go through this academic committee, which is always sort of thinking about design methodology and innovation as far as course material is concerned. So that's one like intimate area of development between the two.
Oh, okay. And can you give us a little bit of the history of Jacobs?
Sure. So as I mentioned, we're pretty new. We opened our doors to students in the fall of 2015. And the reason why the Institute was started, it was Paul Jacobs, who is an alum of the College of Engineering. He really wanted to invigorate undergraduate engineering education and give students a chance to learn through hands-on, collaborative, interdisciplinary, and project-based learning, basically what students will do once they graduate and go into the real world. He wanted to have them give them that chance to explore that here while they're still in school. And so this institute was founded as a way to provide those resources not only to Berkeley students, not only to engineering students, but also to students from all over campus, because he and we believe that design can be applied to any discipline, and it really benefits from having all those different perspectives. Mm-hmm. So When we opened our doors, we had all these resources, as I mentioned, for students to explore design in a hands-on way so that they're not just learning things through lectures and problem sets, but they're also able to say, let's go and make this drone, or let's go and make this interactive website, or this cyber-physical system based on what we've learned, and see the real-world impact and real-world applications of what we're learning. It's exciting to see how much our students have done and how much our community has grown over the past 3 years. We're looking forward to seeing what the next year will bring.
And Tyshawn, can you tell us a little bit more of the history of the BCDI? Where did it come from? How did we decide to start it?
Okay, so ultimately, yeah, this is.
I know you're saying
convoluted.
It was a. Yeah. Well, you're saying it's a like four different colleges are involved in it.
Yeah, so it was ultimately a proposal on how to sort of teach design innovation.
Okay.
At least what Berkeley wants to emphasize when it comes to this sort of teaching methodology. And, you know, so the deans of these schools sort of like, went out and got the investments for the program and essentially, you know, appointed different people for the academic committee from each school to bring those perspectives together. In turn, those academic committee members sort of develop the criteria, and so you'll see a lot of this in the language on the BCDI website, which is bcdi.berkeley.edu. A lot of the language about our teaching methodology is there, and what we ultimately want as far as learning outcomes are concerned. And so it developed out of that approach, and ultimately they identify courses across the campus. So they're not limited to the four schools that are participating. They examine courses across the campus to see whether those courses sort of fit into the mold of what they ultimately want as far as learning outcomes are concerned. And from that, we've sort of developed about 50 or so courses that are now a part of our approved course list.
Oh, okay.
And so usually there are aspects of these courses that follow a sort of a learning outcome or either an iterative process that will ultimately end up in a position where you produce a certain learning outcome, you gain certain skill sets, et cetera, and by the time you graduate with the certificate, it should be somewhat of a confirmation of having sort of a training in a certain type of design methodology that you can carry on to the professional world, and it can be recognized and such.
And so we're talking about all the classes that we have that are available. Who's offering those classes?
So it's actually a variety of different departments. We really try to partner with other departments on campus in order to provide these resources to students. So the courses that are labeled as DES-IMV courses for design innovation, those are the ones that are offered and taught by lecturers hired by Jacobs or faculty hired by Jacobs. But actually, the majority of our courses are offered by the departments, from integrative biology to mechanical engineering to new media. And so for those courses, we don't have oversight over the content, but we just try to support them by providing space and providing this community that they can join. If you're part of a different major on campus, you might see some of your departments offering classes here because those classes are design related, and we want to support that and support your department through that way.
So since we have this Design Innovation Certificate program, obviously design is important. Why is design so important, and why have we made it such a big part of Berkeley Engineering specifically?
Sure. Well, design is really about, it's a way to solve a problem. It's saying, what is the problem we have? What's the information we can gather about it? What are the solutions we can develop for it? So it's really a problem-solving process that can be applied to any discipline, but engineers are problem solvers. They use their design engineering skill set to solve real-world problems. So the two ideas are very much overlapping. And I think, especially with the type of design that we try to promote, which is human-centered design, where you're asking who is the end user that we're trying to help, what do they want, let's learn about them so we can design a solution that is really appropriate for them and is something that's not only functional but also delightful and pleasing and enjoyable to use. As an engineer, you know, you'd want your designs to be very technically very technically good and functional, and that's definitely still very important, and that's what I think Berkeley students are already good at. And I think the students who also incorporate these additional questions of let's make it not only just good, but also just like as well designed as possible are really going to be raise the caliber of Berkeley engineering even higher. And so that's kind of the why it's important, generally speaking. But it's also fun. So if you stop by Jacobs Hall, you're going to see students doing a lot of really fun and also amazing things, like they're 3D printing these intricate 3D art objects, or they are designing a remote control vehicle for one of their classes, or they are part of a club that's designing components for their competition vehicle. So it's important, but it's also just a fun way to learn, and I think it's nice that we can support that.
So what resources do you provide at Jacobs Hall to do that support?
I categorize our resources into five main groups. So we have our classes, a lot of which are also qualify for getting the BCDI. Mm-hmm. And those courses range from intro level, you're new to design and you just want to pick up some basic skills in visual communication and sketching or prototyping and fabrication, all the way to senior and junior and graduate level courses where you're taking all those basic skills and you're applying them to a topic like reimagining mobility or exploring the world of AR and VR. So courses are one. Events is another one. We have a lot of speakers. We have a lot of workshops. We have a lot of co-curricular activities so that students can explore design even outside of the classroom. We have a lot of student groups that we try to support. So a lot of events and activities that happen at Jacobs are student-led, and that's which is very inspirational. And so we just try to support them through providing space, just basically listening to our student groups and hearing what they need and giving them a platform to meet each other. We have advising and mentorship, as I mentioned. So Tyshawn and I provide co-curricular and academic advising and just try to give students advice about how to explore design. But we also have technical advising from our design specialists and our design fellows, who are staff and volunteers who have a lot of expertise in different techniques and disciplines of design, and they are there to talk to students, give them tips, train them on how to use our equipment, etc. And then that leads me to our last main pillar of resources, which is our makerspace, which is basically a term for a lab space that has lots of equipment that you can use to make things. So our makerspace has a lot of different areas. We have, for example, a general makerspace with 3D printers and laser cutters. We have a wood shop. We have a metal shop. We have an electronics lab. We have a augmented reality, virtual reality space that we're actually opening up it's a real space, but it's like for exploring AR and VR, and we're going to be opening that up in the fall. So, and students can take advantage of any and all of those topics, basically a la carte. And so that's kind of our job, to tell students what's available and which of those resources they might want to take advantage of.
So how do they get involved or sign up to be in part of the BCDI, the certificate program?
Okay, so ultimately, the formality of signing up for the program is a bit fluid, but you can ultimately just go on our website, go to the curriculum page, and there'll be a form that you download that is a declaration of intent form.
Okay.
On the form, the questions they'll ask you some basic student information questions, and then it'll also ask you some of the courses that you may be interested in taking as part of the certificate. So you'll get an opportunity to say there's three different levels within the certificate as far as courses are concerned. You have the design foundation courses, which are meant to sort of give you a foundation knowledge in design in general. Then you have the design skills courses. And last, you have the advanced design courses, which sort of incorporate all of the process from the beginning of the iteration process to the end, where you do a major project, et cetera, in these courses. Some of them are extremely technical. Some of them aren't that technical on that end. So there's a range of advanced design courses that are suitable for almost everyone on campus in one form or fashion, depending on your interests. So ultimately, what you'll do is you'll download the Declaration of Intent, and you'll review the list of approved courses for the certificate, and you would sort of put in the classes that you are somewhat interested in, maybe put in a reasoning as to why you're interested in those classes, and we'll give you a choice of first choice or second choice. This information, you know, you'll send this information directly to us. There's information or wording on the website that tells you specifically where to send it, what email address to send it to.
Okay.
But we use the information to sort of gather, you know, just data on students and what they're thinking about, what courses appeal to certain students. And so the more data we have, the better we can serve their needs on the back end. Ultimately, if we're seeing, like, you know, a real high demand for certain courses up front, then that gives us some more ammunition to sort of speak towards what we need from the university in a number of different ways. If we need more slot enrollments, et cetera, and stuff like that,
okay,
then this all helps the process. So that would be the, you know, the first step that you could take as far as formalizing it. But what I would suggest is that even before you do that, you stop by Jacobs Hall. I'm in 234 Jacobs Hall, and you can come by, you can drop by, or you can sort of book an appointment with me @youcanbookme.tashawnrogers.
We'll put links for all this on our webpage for the podcast,
great.
Too.
Okay, cool. So, yeah, I would suggest that you sort of book an appointment with me. I usually book in 30-minute time slots. But, you know, from there, I can really, like, sort of sit down and talk to you, and sort of we can sort of figure out, you know, what angle you're sort of interested in design from, so that we can, you know, sort of really sift through certain courses and their availability, how they sort of work with your traditional academic path that you're taking based on, you know, what you're majoring in or what you're considering majoring in.
Mm-hmm.
So these are all things that take a lot of sort of like time to sort of sift out that, you know, sort of can't be done by pressing a keyboard and sending something off. So I would advise that aspect of it. But, you know, once you fill out the Declaration of Intent, you know, everything is pretty much a go. We sort of track you from that point on. We sort of put you into our informational system, and we'll send you updates on any changes, any new courses that are coming along, any programs or events that we're having coming up. If we're having info sessions, we'll send that out to you. Other information about different things going on with the certificate program, we'll update you on. But it allows for us to track you and gain more information and make it ultimately better for all students.
And what is the benefit of getting the BCDI?
Ultimately, the certificate, we see the certificate as sort of a way to sort of confirm a sort of learned skill set that's applicable to the professional world.
Okay.
If you're interested in sort of UX, you know, stuff, or, you know, or all types of, you know, user interface stuff, then I think this speaks to whether, you know, you're an anthropology major, but you're interested in this type of stuff. It sort of gives you a sort of stamp of approval that you at least understand, like, let's say, the processes behind leading a product development team,
mm-hmm,
at a tech company from an anthropology standpoint.
Right.
So, like, you at least know all the, you know, the sort of iterative process, you know, what goes into the teams, et cetera, what information they may need. And I think, you know, ultimately, by completing a certificate and having a sort of cohort of students who sort of graduate and move into the professional world, where their sort of skills that they picked up through these courses sort of speak to this experience, and then we create sort of a pipeline that allows for those students to know of other students who've recently graduated or students who have taken a certificate, that they have this sort of skill set. I think ultimately, we hope that the certificate, you know, brand becomes viable in the professional workplace.
Okay.
And I think that's how I sort of see it. At least the students who are part of the brand, who graduate each year, they'll know that students coming from underneath them were taught in the same method, and that's a skill set that they have immediately on a job market.
So it's definitely going to benefit you.
Oh, yeah. I think I would.
Yeah, I'll just add a couple of things onto Tyshawn's great explanation, which is another common question we get is there a design major or minor at Berkeley? And the answer is not yet. There is the College of Environmental Design, which offers a lot of majors related to environmental design, and they're awesome. And they also offer some self-design majors. There's also other majors on campus that students pursue in lieu of having a design major, but because there isn't one, the certificate is a great way for students to still have that structure to their studies, even if they're not majoring in design or minoring in design.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, that sounds great. So now Jacobs has other courses that are outside of the design certificate, or are there ways that they don't have time to do an entire certificate program, but is there something they can do, like a one-off class, or?
Yeah. That's a great question. There are a lot of other classes that we have fold into the certificate, and since our missions overlap so much, but there are other classes that you can take there that are separate from it, as you said, if you don't have time or if you just have like other things you're pursuing. So one is we have a lot of decals that we support. So decals are the student facilitated courses where students are teaching other students about things that they are passionate about. And so if it's design related, like a human-centered design decal or like the web design decal or a new one, the bio-inspired design decal, we try to host in our building. There's also some courses that are 1 to 2 units, so they don't necessarily fit into the certificate, but for example, our speaker series where you sign up and you hear a speaker come by every week and talk about their design practice. That's also actually a public speaker series, so even if you aren't taking the class for credit, you can still come and just hear the speakers whenever you have time.
Oh, great.
So there's also these other one-off opportunities, like coming to workshops where our design specialists are teaching things like how to use our vacuum former to make chocolate molds for Valentine's Day, or how to build balloon fighting robots and have a little balloon fighting battle with these little robots that you zoom around. So, if you're interested in learning about design, keep an eye out for those student-led classes. Know that you can take all of our classes a la carte, and you don't have, you know, if you want to just take one class but not necessarily a whole suite of them, that's totally fine. Or you can also just look out for our workshops and our one-off events as ways to learn.
Fantastic.
I just want to follow up on the decals that are offered at Jacobs. I would want to say for like incoming freshmen who may have trouble enrolling in some of our design foundation courses, the decal for human-centered design and the decal for graphic design are excellent choices to sort of introduce you to the methodological education style of what we do at the certificate program. So those are classes that you can probably get into more than likely to get you sort of rolling, because, you know, the first things first, you have to sort of like, you know, get your prerequisites out of the way when you're a freshman. Your schedule is kind of set in some ways, and there's not a much wriggle room to sort of just incorporate something that you're thinking about that you want to do. But if you're extremely interested in design and you kind of know where you want to go, those are good entry points for our idea of design innovation and sort of learning that process. And you can learn it in student groups around a bunch of students who are also, you know, interested in this. It's a really good way to sort of meet other students who are intimately involved in design processes and, you know, possibly join clubs, et cetera, meet friends who are thinking along the same lines from, you know, different, you know, interdisciplinary backgrounds. So I would suggest that that option is there for you.
It's a good way to get in the door.
If you want to get a feel for it before you make a full commitment to it, and then, you know, if you feel like it's worth committing to, then I would suggest that you sort of sit down with your major advisor and sort of work out a pathway that allows for you to sort of, you know, graduate based on whatever timeline that's you know, sort of important to you or what's necessary as far as your life circumstances are concerned, and sort of fitting that in going forward. And then we'll always, you know, be available to sort of help you work around certain things. But yeah, I would say if you're not able to sort of jump right in, use the decals, which are usually in blocks of time that are sort of not in conflict with other classes and stuff like that. Use those as a good way to sort of fill out the process and see what you want to do.
Oh, that is a great suggestion. Thank you. Our students, how can they gain access to Jacobs Hall? Because you were talking about the makerspace. Mm-hmm. Is there a way to go in and just be able to use the makerspace?
To get access to the makerspace specifically, it's a three-step process, and any Berkeley student can have access to that, all engineering students as well as from other colleges. So the three-step process is all on our website. You just look up Maker Pass at Jacobs Hall or go to our space section on the Jacobs website. You'll see it. So first step is registration. You just fill out a very short form just to let us know you're interested in getting a pass. Second thing is you pay access fee for the semester. For most students, it's $75. There is a fee waiver available, too, if you have financial needs. So if that fee is a concern to you, just fill out the waiver, and we'll let you know within a few days whether we can waive that fee for you. The third step is to take an online safety training. It's a module on B courses, and you just read through our basic access and safety policies, answer a quiz to let us know that you have retained all the important information. And then once you've done those three steps, then you have access for the semester. Right now, our access is on a semester-by-semester basis, so every semester you want access, you just do this quick process. And then once you do that, you basically are able to get into the makerspace, all of our equipment spaces, with your Cal 1 card by tapping our card reader. You go in, and then you, at that point, just choose the parts of the makerspace that you want to get trained on. So, for example, you say, I want to use the laser cutters. I will sign up for the laser cutter training. I want to use the wood shop. I will sign up for the wood shop training. So there is additional training, but getting that maker's pass that initial access is a three-step process, and after that, it's a la carte. You just choose the areas of the space that you want to learn about, and you can take trainings for all of them if you want, or just some of it based on what you want to do.
So let's talk a little bit more about the communities that we have at Jacobs and part of the community for the BCDI. Mm-hmm. What are the students like? Who actually comes and takes part in it? Tell me a little bit more about that.
So the community at Jacobs, I think, is one of the best parts of working there. So we have students who are very open-minded and very interdisciplinary in thinking. That's why they're kind of saying, I want to do something that's a little bit outside of the box of what I'm studying in the classroom. And so they are coming there, and they're meeting students from other majors, and they're collaborating on these projects where one student is like an EECS major, and he's like doing all the electronics work. Another student is the ME major, and he's like doing all the physical components. And then the person who's cog sci, and they're thinking through the user experience aspects of it. And you see a lot of these students working together and getting excited together. And being, I think, a generally positive community, I think that's another thing that I really like about our students is that people are just really excited to be there, and they're excited to show their friends and to introduce new students to the space and to what's possible there. And so you see students all the time just kind of bring people over and showing them what they've done. If you get stuck on something, then I think it's pretty common for students to just turn up to another student and ask them what to do, or talk to one of our student supervisor staff, who are also great, and also provide assistance to our users, just like our design specialist professional staff do. To sum up, just very interdisciplinary, very friendly, and just very creative and open-minded.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I would say from my experience with the students who are participating in the certificate program, they come from a diverse background of interdisciplinary education. And so you'll see, actually, the majority of our students come from the College of Letters and Science.
Okay.
So cog sci is our most popular major as far as students who are taking the certificate program. And so what happens is you have these courses, and you have students coming from cog sci, coming from Haas, et cetera, and sort of merging and working on projects together that ultimately allows for a level of interconnectivity that you may not get in a more homogenous course where everyone's sort of like studying for a test, and they're almost operating like as individuals in a way. The nature of the courses that are a part of the Certificate of Design Innovation is that, you know, you have to work together. So, you know, collaborative innovation is a really big theme amongst the courses, and you're getting perspectives from, you know, people from all ranges of academic life. So I would say what you see is sort of a vibrant community of students coming out of classrooms talking to each other about, you know, what to do next. Like, there's always this, like, interaction going on that speaks to a level of closeness and a community that we strive for, ultimately, you know, in higher education.
Oh, that's so cool. I like to hear that everybody's, like, you're really getting to work together as you work on these different projects.
Mm-hmm.
So the biggest thing that we've talked a little bit about, how to find out how to be part of this and how to do things, I'll have links on our website, but tell me a little bit more of how do people get the information so that they can take part in all of this?
Yes. Okay, for the certificate program, I was just checking out our website, bcdi.berkeley.edu, and, you know, just browsing around the website, learning as much as possible, reading through, checking out mainly our curriculum page, which gives a lot of, sort of instructions on courses, what courses are available, how do you sort of take courses, can you petition for courses, et cetera. You can do that. You can always stop by Jacobs Hall and come talk to me about it in general, or book me at TashaunRogers.youcanbookme.me. And those would be the first steps as far as participation is concerned. There's also, each semester, we will have an open house info session that we'll publicize through social media outlets, through Berkeley calendars, et cetera.
We definitely put it on the ESS newsletter.
Yes. So that happens every semester. We also will have a sort of a graduation ceremony at the end of each spring. So that will include people who are sort of either graduating in the fall, and most people graduating in spring, or even students who go into the summer. And
okay.
So that's also a good opportunity to actually come by and you know, to see the ceremony, see, you know, what's going on with the program, et cetera, and learn more about it. But the info session is probably our biggest sort of thing where you can ask any question. We'll be there to talk to you. The academic committee will be there, and they can really get in depth as far as the process is concerned and sort of like speak to like the teaching and training, et cetera. That's the foundation of the certificate program.
Oh, that's great. Thank you.
And for exploring resources at Jacobs Hall, I would say just to, if any of this stuff remotely sounds interesting to you, just stop by. We're located right next to Echeverry Hall and Soto Hall, and especially our doors are open anytime to talk to chat if you want to learn more. My office is in 103 Jacobs, and you can also book appointments with me for advising. At the beginning of the semester, we'll try to have some orientation activities too. So you'll see us at Caltopia, you'll see us at the engineering students orientation activities event. We'll have tours of the building, etc. So just look out for those. Just know that this is just, again, something that I think is important to get involved with as a student, but also something that's just really fun, and you're going to get a chance to meet a lot of other cool students and get involved in a lot of interesting active student groups if you are so interested. So the main things to hear about all the things that are happening are to just remember that you can visit us anytime during once you're on campus, to stop by my office or Tyshawn's office, and also just to check out our website. We have a Facebook and Twitter as well. And when you go to our website, the section that you might want to go to specifically is our student resources section. That compiles all the information that we've talked about during the course of this podcast, and has links to where you can find more information, and as well as links to where you can find how to talk to me.
And I think I would be remiss if I didn't talk a little bit more about what experience levels do students need to come in and start taking classes or be part of the makerspace?
Yes, thank you so much for reminding me of that. So we welcome all experience levels. So we are a learning institution, and we understand that not everyone comes into Berkeley with an innate knowledge about how to use a bandsaw or a 3D printer. And so that's why we have these trainings, that's why we have these workshops, that's why we have all the staff who are available to assist you. And so don't be afraid of that. If that's your concern, please come and just learn and know that we are a resource for learning and for making mistakes and iterating. And until suddenly you are a senior and you're now teaching freshmen how to do these things because you've gained so much over the past 4 years. But that's getting ahead of myself. But yeah, all experience levels are welcome. And we would love to have freshmen and transfers come into our doors as soon as they get here.
Well, thank you both so much for coming. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And I hope everyone got a ton of information about the Jacobs Institute for Design Innovation and our Berkeley Certificate of Design Innovation. And I'm excited about it. I think the students are going to be excited about it. It's something that's not this book learning that you keep hearing about that we're shoving physics and math and stuff down their throat all the time. This is a little bit more interesting.
Yeah.
At least to me, it's more interesting. So thank you, everyone, for tuning in today to the Not-So-Secret Guide to Being a Berkeley Engineer. And I will talk at you again next week. Thank you.